the His Hardline podcast, where we ignite independent and accurate thought, break the chains and shackles of mental bondage, challenge societal norms, and traverse through the timeless teachings of our Heavenly Father. Join us as we liberate minds and embrace the power of the Great Awakening while embracing true sovereignty. Welcome to the show.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Thank you for tuning into the His Hardline podcast. And if you want to find more shows like this, along with our social media links, you can find all of that on hishardline.com. I am Jason, your co-host, with our Sovereign Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, at my side, because he is the host with the most and the most high. He's at the helm, behind the wheel, and in the captain's chair, steering this great ship of ours through these crazy, rough waters and this storm that we call life. So welcome to His Hardline. Today's show is titled, Military is the Only Way. Training Manual TM 2000-25, and today's reading will be from the book of Micah, chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Daily disclaimer, please be advised that I'm not a doctor, holistic health expert, financial advisor, biblical scholar, or bar lawyer. While I am a member of the Michigan General Jural Assembly in good lawful standing, I am not the official face or voice of the National State or County Assembly. I do not endorse or advocate for violence unless it's in self-defense of me and my family, and please note that the opinions, thoughts, and statements expressed on this platform are solely my own and for educational and entertainment purposes only. Okay. Got a lot to get to, and very little time to do it in. So, hope everybody's having a good day today. Now, typically, this is one of those podcasts that I generally do just a regular recording. Don't really do lives on Tuesday, you know, through Saturday when I do my Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday recordings. I only try to do lives now on Sunday, just from a time management standpoint, and I don't have to adhere to a specific schedule, so on and so forth. But anyways, that being said, today is a very important podcast because I'm going to start reading the Field Training Manual 2000-25, which basically is a manual that was released to the military, to the Army, by the War Department back in 1928. Okay, and it's very, very important on why I'm reading this. Very important. Okay. Now I want to go over a couple things first. Now for the Michigan General Jural Assembly in our 2018 timeline, which is, it is published there. You can go look at this, but these were orders. This was sent, okay, to the Joint Chiefs of Staff of the Pentagon and the Office of POTUS. So this was sent to, through registered email, by the way, which means we have to make sure we have receipt that they've received it. Okay. But in the month of October of 2012, in this timeline here that we put forward to them, we receded, this is what it says, we receded our Federal House of Representatives and Senate from 1861, October 21st, 2012. All right, and with succession, we established a de jure Republican form of government with interim President of the United States of America. The purpose. The purpose is the federal level body has a purpose to orchestrate elections under the oversight of the military per the orders. Next purpose. This establishes a federal superior government over the de facto, which gives the military, listen to this, folks, it gives the military a civilian authority to provide direction. The next purpose, any action the military takes against the de facto covered by the orders of the de jure Republican form of government and civilian authority. Now, those orders would be the 21 requisitions, by the way. And the next purpose here, the last purpose I'm going to read, this cannot be considered as a military coup, as it will be considered a military upholding their oath to defend the Constitution and we the people from all enemies, both foreign and domestic. Okay, so I want you to pay attention to what I just read there. Take note of that. This show is going to be made available for download. So if I'm going a little too fast, rest assured, you can go back and re-listen to it and try to, you know, let it marinate. Now, I want to read a Q post. Now, you know me. If anybody who has come to this show, you should know that I normally don't read Q stuff. But there is a post I am going to read. It was from Anonymous before Q was started tagged, you know, being tagged on this. It was post number 26. So right in the very beginning of the Q stuff, right? And it says, think about it logically. This was posted November 1st, 2017. So Trump has already been in office at this point. So the post says, think about it logically. The only way is the military, fully controlled, save and spread. Once 11.3 verifies as first marker, biggest advance drop on POL or POI. I don't know what that means. Pol. I don't know if that's an acronym for something. But basically, what this is saying here is the military is the only part of the government and intelligence that's fully under the control of POTUS or Commander-in-Chief. And the military can arrest and try traitors when the system of law and order breaks down and the courts no longer are trusted to dispense justice due to such widespread corruption. Now, this is kind of the crap that we're seeing Donald Trump go through right now actively with all these court cases and everything that he's dealing with. All right, we're going to see a lot of stuff take place here in the very, very near future. Now, that again, that Q post seems to suggest a viewpoint that advocates for the military to take control in certain situations, particularly when, you know, the regular system of law and order is deemed to be corrupt or ineffective, which clearly it is. And so basically, it's asserting in that post that the military, being under the control of the Commander-in-Chief, or POTUS, as it was stated there, is the only part of the government and intelligence that is fully controlled by the executive branch, right, to execute orders. Execute what orders, Jason? Well, the orders by we the people in General Assembly. Now, that post also implies that in extreme circumstances, such a widespread corruption within the judicial system, the military could actually be called upon to intervene. Okay, and it suggests that the military could potentially arrest and try individuals deemed to be traitors or threats to national security when the civilian legal system is perceived as unable to effectively dispense justice. So overall, that post is appearing to advocate for a scenario where the military assumes a greater role in maintaining law and order, particularly in situations where the regular systems of governance are perceived to have failed and become corrupted. Now, this, I believe, again, is only to be exhausted under extreme circumstances when all else fails. But exhausted by who, you might ask, right? Who would exhaust the last resort if all else fails? Well, that would be the people in the General Assemblies, particularly with Michigan and Alaska, because we are not only assembled but settled. We the people. So what I'm going to begin reading over the next several weeks until its completion is the Field Training Manual 2000-25. Now, I've already read this once, but now that I have more of an understanding and have better context of what's going on, I feel like this is really relevant now more than ever to read and review. And this manual was released by, the War Department back in 1928. And the Field Training Manual was targeted to be destroyed under the orders of FDR and company. Well, why? Well, I hate to say it. Sadly for him, he was unsuccessful because a few copies survived. And again, why is that important, Jason? Why would FDR want that destroyed? Well, the Field Training Manual was released to the military as a set of instructions on what to do if our country ever fell in the hands of the wrong power structures and tried to turn our country into a socialistic, democratic type of government. Now, this war manual basically instructs how to restore a nation from a democracy and bring it back to a republic. So in other words, if the civilians were unsuccessful at taming the beast that we now know as Big Brother government, aka the corporate criminal syndicate cabal, this manual was a set of instructions on how to restore the republic at the orders by the people if all else fails. Because again, it has to be at the orders of the people to say, okay, military, you have civilian authority to step out of your role as a citizen. Because again, remember, citizen is a government employee, whether elected, appointed, or hired in, right? Through signing up, like the military personnel are technically citizens. We, who are not serving government are civilians. Okay, so that would give the citizen a civilian role at that point at the behest of the American people. From what I just read, go back and review that and listen again. So again, reading this for the second time couldn't come at a better time. I'll just leave it at that because, I'm just not going to even get into the because. But I will say this. I suggest you really soak in this information and you share these shows going forward because people are going to need to understand the significance of this training manual. You see, what's happening here, ladies and gentlemen, is every time the General Assembly grows and adds another state, the opposition keeps meeting us with symmetry. Symmetry? Jason, what the hell are you talking about? Symmetry? What are you talking about? Well, in other words, the more we grow, they equally grow in opposition. And they put a roadblock at every turn we make, making it damn near impossible, not impossible, but damn near impossible for us to make any progress to come out of interim status. That being said, pay very close attention over the next few weeks to the next few months, and not just, you know, in general, but listen to these podcasts and really soak in the material as it's going to be very pivotal moving forward, and it will provide better context when you see what starts happening around you. Now, let's get into the reading of Micah chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, because this is also very relevant to what's going on today. Starting with verse 1. Woe is me. I am like the one who gathers summer fruit. When the vines have been gleaned, there is no cluster to eat, no early fig that I crave. The faithful have vanished from the earth. No mortal is just. They all lie in wait to shed blood. Each one ensnares the other. Their hand succeed at evil. The prince makes demands. The judge is bought for a price. The powerful speak as they please. The best of them is like a briar. The most honest like a thorn hedge. The day announced by your sentinels, your punishment has come. Now is the time of your confusion. Put no faith in a friend. Do not trust a companion. With her who lies in your embrace, watch what you say. For the son belittles his father, the daughter rises up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and your enemies are members of your household. Well, these verses are pretty stark and grim reminders of what we're kind of seeing today. So these verses, again, from Micah chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, depict a lamentation by the prophet Micah over the state of society at that time. See, Micah compares himself to a fruit gatherer who finds nothing left to gather, which symbolizes the scarcity of righteous people in the land. And he mourns the absence of faithful and just individuals, emphasizing that everyone seems to be involved in wrongdoing, including shedding blood and ensnaring others. Everybody's in on it. Verse 3, Micah describes how corruption has infiltrated positions of authority and in influence. The prince, also known as the ruler at that time, makes demands, right? The judge can be bought off for a price, right? Bribes. The powerful speak and act with impunity. This corruption extends to the highest levels of leadership where justice is perverted for personal gain. Sound familiar, ladies and gentlemen? Kind of sounds like our de facto government, both on the state and federal level. Verse 4 continues to paint a bleak picture, likening even the best among them to thorns and briars, basically in emphasizing the widespread nature of deceit and dishonesty. Micah then declares the imminent punishment for their sins, announcing the arrival of day of reckoning. And in verses 5 and 6, Micah warns against misplaced trust and betrayal, even within close relationships. Now, he highlights the breakdown of familial bonds, right? Family bonds, where even family members turn against each other, right? They turn against one another. And this should underscore the pervasive nature of corruption and deceit at its finest, which has fractured not only society, but also interpersonal relationships. This is what the government is trying to do today, trying to split up the family, break up the family. Why do you think they're trying to demasculate men? Overall, these verses depict a society plagued by corruption, where justice is perverted and trust is betrayed, and even family ties are strained. Now, Micah's Lament serves as a warning of the consequences of turning away from righteousness and highlights the need for repentance and moral renewal. Does any of that sound very familiar, almost damn near identical to what we have going on today? Because it sure does to me. Now, again, I am under a time restraint right now. So forgive me if I sound like I'm reading this a little fast, but this is going to be very important as we move forward because, like I said in the very beginning, we have, because of the, like I said, the timeline, the Michigan timeline that was released, the timeline that was released from Michigan, we gave, okay, military, as the people in General General Assembly, we gave the military civilian authority to act on our behalf, okay, again, under the 21 requisitions. And again, I'm going to read one of those purposes again from that. Any action the military takes against the de facto are covered by the orders of the de jure Republican form of government and civilian authority. And again, another one. This establishes a federal superior government over the de facto, which gives our military civilian authority to provide directions. So listen closely when I read this. So this, what I'm about to read, is the beginning of the war manual. And then there's 12 lessons. And again, this is going to be extrapolated over the next, I don't know, because I'm going to take each lesson and break one lesson down into two shows, so I'm not boring you to death in like an hour-long reading. And it's just easier to digest mentally, right, to absorb it. So that's what my game plan is. So here we're going to start with the reading. So TM 2000-25. And again, folks, I cannot emphasize this enough. This is going to be very pivotal for our near future of what's to come. Okay, so starting at the very beginning here, in the beginning of this book. So national defense. Now, under national defense, the National Defense Act, as amended in 1920, the War Department, among its many other duties, is charged with the task of recruiting and training the young men of our nation through enlistments in the regular Army, voluntary enlistments in the Reserve Officers Training Corps of high schools, colleges, universities, and in the 30-day training period in citizens' military training camps. Now, remember, folks, citizens, that's a public servant, okay? That is an employee of the government. Citizens' military training camps throughout the 9 core areas of the United States. The combined average yearly strength of these various units approximates some 260,000 young men between ages 16 and 25 years, and the most critical period in the determination of their real value as citizens of our country. It is therefore essential that the training of these young men embody with their instruction in military science at least a basic course in the science of government and the privileges, duties, and responsibilities of the individual citizen, in order that they may be returned to civilian life better equipped as the defenders of the institutions of our government in time of peace, as well in time of war. I'm going to break away from this for a second, folks, and make no mistake, we are in a time of war. We are in a time of war. Because remember when the governors, okay, were all rounded up by the military to inform them of what's going on with the people formulating their general general assemblies. They were told, not once, but twice, you mess with these people, we will imprison you. You will be basically going to Gitmo, in other words. You will be arrested and tried for treason. Stay out of their way. Well, technically, they are staying out of our way, but you know who's not? All these paid actors and infiltrators, right? These lower-level peon, you know, scumbags that work in tactical civics, that work in the state nationals, right? We, the county bullcrap. What else is there? Life Force, National Liberty Alliance. All these dipsticks, every time we get a state assembled, again, they meet us with symmetry. These were words that I got from Destry. I thought that was very interesting. Symmetry. Every time we gain a foothold, so do they, and they block us. Well, guess what? At some point, the blocking is going to stop. Continue reading. Citizenship training. Training in citizenship is the most vital of all subjects to that nation whose system of government, security of property, and full power to express individual initiative are based upon the intelligence, education, and character of each individual citizen. Individual initiative. Individual initiative is the product of slow progress in the development of the idea and ideals of self-government. I want to reread that. Individual initiative is the product of slow progress in the development of the idea and ideals of self-government. It was cherished in the minds of the early Germanic tribes, transmitted by them in the 5th century to the conquered British Isles, there developed and finally transferred in principle to the shores of America 300 years ago. Now, from the landing of the first settlers through the slow and perilous years of colonial development, the struggles of the revolutionary days, the hardships and privations following the adoption of our Constitution, the winning of the Great West, the fight to save our Union, and the tremendous accomplishments in the development of agricultural and industrial resources, individual initiative coupled with community cooperation has been a determining factor to a spur to our achievements and a guarantee to our national security. Now, to protest of the colonies against usurpation of the rights of citizens, the Declaration of Independence, the Revolutionary War, the writing and adoption of the Constitution of the United States, and the ever-increasing development in population, industry, wealth, and security, denoting the achievements of the United States, would not have been possible lacking the spirit of individual initiative and the talent for self-government. The United States worked out its own destiny by the simple process of hard labor inspired with the knowledge of full opportunity in the exercise of individual ability, ensure reward and protection in the possession of the fruits of their labor. Now, we get into section 4. Now, we're only doing 7 sections here. 7 sections, okay? So, section 4 talks about the foundation of citizenship, okay? Now, remember, we're talking about the military. This is our citizenry, the military. So the foundation of citizenship, in any instruction in citizenship productive of lasting results, there must be woven into the study of the story of the faith, sacrifice, service, and achievements. Of the pioneers of America, from the landing of pilgrims to the settlement of the Great West and the development of our vast national resources. This story, pregnant with hope, faith, courage, and the will to work, is the rock foundation upon which to build the structure of citizenship in the youth of today. That the future may be assured in perpetuity of the institutions, principles, ideals, and traditions, the development of which has made the United States great among the nations of the world. A study of the census reports of the United States, particularly during the past 50 years, reveals a condition that to every thinking man and woman is fraught with grave danger to the continuation and maintenance of our constitutional form of government and the blessings of liberty which we enjoy. We must be prepared to recognize this situation and find the solution of the problem. Now, section 5 of the 7 we're going to read here. Social phasing of citizenship. As a result of the changing live stream of America, there has arisen one of the greatest problems of our national life. Up to 30 years ago, approximately 90% of all immigration to America was of Anglo-Saxon origin, that race of people which has been working out the problem of self-government for nearly 2,000 years. Now, due to the remarkable impetus given to industrial development following 1890, opportunity for employment was offered and every inducement made to secure the immigration of European common labor, resulting in an immediate change in the type of immigration to America, by which Central, Eastern, and Southern Europe increased their totals by over 50 times in the 50 years from 1870 to 1920. the history of the nations for which this later immigration originated is that of large cultural advantages in art, literature, and science enjoyed by the ruling and favored minority, while oppression, privation, and suffering were endured by the great majority of the subjects. The latter class, without knowledge of self-government, denied the opportunity for self-government, eagerly responding to the call of American opportunity, emigrating to our shores, here to enjoy full participation in the rights of the American citizenship without proper understanding of the meaning of liberty or the nature and value of our free institutions, the very foundation of which is laid in intelligent and active participation in government by our individual citizens. Now, this course, because again, this is a course, ladies and gentlemen, a course of instruction in citizenship to be effective must develop the social phase of citizenship and be particularly directed to the native and foreign-born youth, setting up a clear understanding of this great problem of assimilation and amalgamation of the bloods of all nations into the virile life stream of America. Section 6. Now you got the economic phase of citizenship. Now the industrial achievements of America have become the marvel of the world. Therefore, the economic phase of citizenship must be developed with careful study and with all the wisdom we possess that we may assure continued progress to the welfare, tranquility, and enrichment of our own citizens, and at the same time steer a safe course for our ship of state in the maelstrom of the world envy engendered by a knowledge of our wealth and power. In the accomplishment of our industrial achievements, the United States has reinvested its profits in the development of horsepower, automatic machinery, labor-saving devices, transportation, communication, organization, administration, and since the World War has given further impetus to the accomplishments by sharing more and more of the fruit of her industries with wage-earning class. In the progress thus made, the demand for brains to replace brawn has been an ever-increasing factor in the production of our goods as the quantity and quality in order to maintain our sense of well-being, high standards of living, and to meet the competition of the world at large. A course of instruction in citizenship must emphasize the necessity of the education of our masses as an economic measure in supplying the great need of modern industry. And then we got the last section I'm going to read here, which is Section 7. Section 7. And it says, philosophy of American government. The philosophy of government as set up under the Constitution finds its keynote in individualism as opposed to that misguided philosophy of government collectivism, which makes the state paramount in its demand over inalienable rights of its individual citizens. Incomprehensible as it may seem, the political problems of America and of the world at large are embodied in this question of individualism as opposed to collectivism as the philosophy of government for the future development and welfare of nations. Emphasis must be laid upon the benefits and advantages occurring to each individual citizen of our country under the form of government set up as the supreme law of the land in the Constitution of the United States of America. Now, that is going to be the end of this reading. Okay, that will be the end of this reading. And then we'll do the second part of this 2 days from now. There'll be another download made available. And then we'll get into the lesson one again. What we are reading here, or what we just completed part of, is the first chapter, if you will, of the Field Training Manual 2000-25, which again was released by the War Department to the Army. And again, that manual is a set of instructions on what to do, what the military needs to do when they are even back in civilian life. So whether if they're still enlisted or they're retired and they now live among the civilian populace, this manual instructs them what to do in order to return our country back to a republic from a democracy, which a democracy is not what we are. You can go through all of our founding documents. You can go through everything that America has as a founding document. You will not find the word democracy. Yeah, but Jason, we do have a democratic kind of process, don't we? On the state level, yeah. But from a federal level, We're supposed to have a republic. A republic. A republican form of government in a de jure jurisdiction. Common law. Natural law. That's God's law, ladies and gentlemen. Not Roman civil law. Not U.S. code. Common law. And again, this is going to be very pivotal to understand this further on what the military service, men or woman, what their duty is as a citizen, being in a civilian population, what their duties are going to be going forward. I'm just going to leave it at that. So with that, we're going to end this in a prayer. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for, well, first off, all that you do. We come to you with humble hearts, and we thank you for another day of life and good health. We thank you for our families, our children, and we thank you for the people, the men and women that came before us that helped lay the path before us, that, you know, did the hard work back then, but for some reason we got lazy as a people, and we just pray that you guide us. You guide our hearts, you guide our minds, you guide our souls, and you help wake other people up to what's going on in this country and hopefully prompt them into action so they can participate in this wonderful thing that we call a republic and self-governing ourselves. So, Father, we just ask that you be with those people. You protect us during these times. We know we got some turbulent times ahead of us, but we know that you're going to walk with us every step of the way. And we just ask that you also fulfill the needs of anybody who is calling out to you, who don't know how to call out to you, who don't know how to pray to you. They have silent prayers in their heart. We just ask that you be with them during all their challenging times. And we pray all this in your holy Son's name, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen, ladies and gentlemen. So, as I always say at the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen, here at His Heart Line, we are firm, we are steadfast, and we are uncompromising. We will not allow the enemy to ever cross this line again. It is our duty, and I repeat, it is our duty to hold that line. For the enemy seeks to lure us into apathy, into complacency. They want us fearful, they want us in doubt, they want us riddled with anxiety, they want us hopeless. Because when we have all that plaguing us, we will not prompt into action to save ourselves. Because nobody's saving us. There's going to be no knight in shining armor riding in on a black steed that's going to come save us. We save ourselves, folks. Remember, the enemy aims to enslave us mentally, hindering our progress towards self-mastery, towards self-government, and towards a self-procured relationship with our Heavenly Father. So let us remain vigilant. Let us be resolute in our commitment to holding this line. God bless, ladies and gentlemen, and we will catch up with you here. We'll catch up with you here next time.
To find more shows like this, you can visit hishardline.com. And to learn more about your involvement with your local General Jural Assembly, you can visit national-assembly.net. His Heartline Podcast. His Heartline Podcast. Podcast. Please exercise caution regarding any organization purporting to be an assembly and claiming similar objectives such as the American States Assembly, National Liberty Alliance, Life Force, Beacon 37, RUSA Tactical Civics, or any entity diverging from the officially recognized Michigan model acknowledged by 7 countries and the United States military. Furthermore, it's important to clarify that we do not endorse or recognize status corrections.